Hallelujah. Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning clarity of thoughts. We ask and receive this morning that there is no confusion. There is no contradiction as the truth of God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark's gospel, not Matthew this time. Mark chapter 16. We still go to Matthew, but just so that you don't, doesn't look like you always predict me. Hallelujah. Look at Mark's gospel. Are you there? Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into the world. Now look at that again. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we looked at the phrase, preach the gospel on Wednesday. And we said that's the phrase that speaks about what? Heralding that glad tidings, so to say. So preach the gospel to every creature. Now every creature, will that be including animals? Would that be including goats? Would that be including non-living things? Yeah, so every creature will speak about the human race. Are we here? So preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Are we reading our Bibles?
Yes,
no, we are not. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, he says, this sign shall follow them that what? Believe in my name. Say, in my name. Shall they cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Look at John. Look at John chapter 20. Look at John chapter 20. Are you there? John 20:21. See what it says there? It says, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, whosoever sins ye remit. They are remitted. Listen to that carefully. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What do you think that means? It means that we will stand in the stead of Christ to tell men that your sins are forgiven. Right? And a man who receives that, his sins are remitted. A man who rejects that, his sins are retained. Are we together? So he says, whosoever sins ye remit, right? They are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So are you the one retaining their sins? No, they are retaining their sins in rejecting what you offer. Are we together? So look at it this way. You stand in Christ's stead and you present the gospel to man that his sins are forgiven. Are we together? So you know how when you minister to people and you say you are healed? You see, the authority you have to say you are healed is the same authority you have to say your sins are forgiven. Are we together? You know you can look at a man and say your sins are forgiven. Look at your neighbor and say your sins are forgiven. Look at your neighbor. Look at one neighbor. Say your sins are forgiven. Say, I have the right to tell you that your sins are forgiven. So your sins are forgiven. So you have the authority. So he says, whosoever sins you remit, they shall be what? Remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they shall be what? Retained. So a man in Christ has the ability to point to a man and to declare that his sins are forgiven. Now, in whose name do you have to do that, or can you do that? In the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, in the work of Jesus, based on the work of Jesus. Are we together? So look at verse 31. He now says, of verse 30, he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. He says, but these are written that ye might what? Believe. Verse 30 or 31 of John 20. So you might what? Believe that Jesus is what? The Christ. Are we together? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He now says, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have life through his name. Are we together? So it means that his name is about the Jesus being the Christ. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? His name is about Jesus being the Christ. So when you believe on his name, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have life. So his name is that which supplies life to man. Hallelujah. So through his name, we have life. Say, through the name of Jesus, I have life. Hallelujah. So we see the consistency of Mark 16 in my name, right? He now says through his name. That's John 20. Now look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28 verse 18. Matthew 28 verse 18. Matthew 28 verse 18. Now it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power in heaven is given unto me and in earth. Right? He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Can we look into our Bibles and read verse 20 together? 1, 2, 3, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always till the end of the world. Are we together? Now, we said that every believer has a purpose. Is that true? What is our purpose? To teach. Are we together? So, your purpose is not to be a doctor. God did not choose you. God did not, you know, for my mother's womb, you have chosen me to become a lawyer. No. Yeah. So, becoming a lawyer, becoming a doctor, becoming an engineer is your self-decision. You make that decision and you follow that path. Are we together? Are we together? Because think about it this way. There are certain courses in universities that you would always have more students than. Is that not true? Let me tell you a very interesting one again. There are certain courses in university that you have more male students than female. Right? And the male students begin to oppress the female. Now, there are certain courses in university that you have more females than male. And the females oppress the male. Are we together? And in fact, the world has made it in a very interesting way such that if you are a male reading that kind of course, the way they even look at you, almost as if they should give you a different hostel. Are you coming to boys' hostel? No, that's your hostel. Are we together? Are we together? So God did not from time divide all those divisions that we have divided. So in the real sense, over time, man has successfully divided certain things to belong to women and certain things to belong to men. Are we together? In fact, that's going to a stage right now. There are some cars that we call feminine cars. You know, there's some cars, if you are a man, you drive it, you'll be shy. you tilt all your glass. You always go and park underground when you go to any supermarket. You know those kind of cars, right? And there are also some, too, and you know that there are some women that like to drive some cars because they are masculine. Yeah, so in the real sense, the purpose of every believer is uniform. Yeah, God has made us his workmanship and has given us a unique uniform purpose. What's that purpose? To teach the gospel. So in that teaching, you would have found out that you must have been a good student. Are we together? Are we together? Say, I've been called with a purpose. Say, I've been called with a purpose. Now, he says, go ye into the world, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is my purpose. That is my goal. That is what a new creation is about. That's the purpose of a man that is a new creation. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Are we here? Now, look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Are you in Luke 24? Open the Bibles quickly to Luke 24, verse 44. Then he came and said unto them, are you there? These are the words, are we there? Which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the what? Law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might what? Understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written. Now we explain what it is written means, right? It is written doesn't always mean that this is the exact words that were written. Because if you check through scriptures, you would not see what Jesus said was written as written the way it was written. Are you there? Are you there? He says, it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his what? In his name. Are we together? So it means that the summary, now remember, Mark 16, John 20, Luke 24, and Matthew 28. We said they are the summaries of these apostles from the how many days teaching? 40 days teaching, Acts 1, 2, right? Today, which was taken up by the Holy Ghost, right? And he was seen teaching them things concerning the kingdom for many days? 40 days. Now, if we say their summaries were about a 40 days teaching, and each of their summaries had the name involved, it means that the summary of the teaching of Jesus for 40 days can be summed up as the name of Jesus. You hear what I said? Each of their summaries had the name. In my name, is that not true? Right? Do you get that? In my name, it is written that Christ behold, that repentance of redemption is preached in his name, right? And you might have life through his name. Are we together? And in my name, you shall cast out. So it means that if the summaries of those apostles or those disciples of Jesus included collectively the name of Jesus, it means that you can summarize the teaching of Jesus, 40 days teaching, with what? The name of Jesus. So what did Jesus do for 40 days? He taught them things concerning himself. I mean, it's not far-fetched from Acts 1. Are we together? So Jesus was teaching for 40 days regarding or concerning the name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus is such a doctrine that is such a phrase that we need to learn the doctrine behind. So Jesus taught about the name of Jesus right from Genesis to Malachi. That was all his scriptures. Are we together? That was all that Jesus had as his scriptures. He taught about that for 40 days. Strictly 40 days, strictly from the scriptures. Are we together? Are we together? So our purpose, we said, is to train up people. Our purpose is to train up people using our material, which is the scriptures. Now, on Wednesday, we ended our teaching on Wednesday talking about didaskalia, didaskolios. You remember that? Yeah, didache? Remember that? What again did we talk about? Didaskalia, didaskolos, right? Didasko and didache, right? Are we together? What is didaskalia? Check your Bible. Don't try to do as if you. Don't try to do as if you revised your notes before. You want to remember what you revised. You didn't revise it. What is didaskalia? Check your Bible. Your notes. The what? Doctrines or beliefs. Yeah. What's didaskos? Didasko rather. The act of instruction. The act of instruction, right? The act of instruction. The word didaskos, didasko. What is didaskalos? The one who instructs. What's didache? Mode of teaching. How to teach, mode of teaching. That's fine. That's fine. You checked your notes. That's okay. Right? So we paid attention to didache on Wednesday. Right? I started looking at the didache as the mode of teaching. Now look at Matthew's Gospel 7. Look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Look at Matthew 7, verse 28. Matthew 7, 28. Matthew 7, 28. Are we there? Look at Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now we explained that on Wednesday. Is that true? And what did we say the astonishment was about? The mode of his teaching, how he taught. How do you know? Look at the next verse. For he taught them as one, having what? Authority, and not as the scribes. So they recognized and identified his mode of teaching. So there's such a thing as the mode of teaching that Christ had. Altogether. So it means that there was something, they were astonished at his didache. Is that true? Is that true? They were astonished, that's the Greek word, didache. They were astonished at his mode of teaching. So that means, and what did they really mean? It means it says he spoke and he taught as one having what? Authority. Are we together? Look at Mark. Matthew 16:12. See what it says. It says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the living of the bread, but of the what? Doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus had a way of teaching. Look at John 7. John 7. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a mode of teaching. Is that true? Now, the scribes also have a mode of teaching. So they had a mode of teaching and had what they taught. Is that true? Jesus as well, who was a didaskalos. Are we together? Are we here? Is that right? Are we here? He had a doctrine and he had a mode of teaching the doctrine. Now you see that the mode of teaching the doctrine had to do with the authority that he taught with. Are we together? Now there's such a thing as the mode of teaching. We're going to pay attention to that today. Look at John. Where did I say you should go to? Okay, lovely. Go to John 7. John chapter 7. Look at John 7, verse 16. Are you there? Look at John 7, 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me." That's the word didache. Okay. So, my didache is not mine, but he is that sent me. Now, look at 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Are we together? And he that seeketh his own glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Now look at verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you kept the law? Why go ye about to kill me? So that word they are seen in verse 17, that word doctrine, is that same word did that say? So Jesus had a way he taught, and his disciples listened and learned very well. Do you suppose they learned very well? Okay, go to Acts 2. Go to Acts 2. Acts 2, 42. Look at Acts 2, 42. Are you in Acts chapter 2, verse 42? Look at what it says there. It says what? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in what? Now, they have continued in the apostles' doctrine. That word there, doctrine, is the word didache. So can we say the apostles' mode of teaching? Where did they learn their mode of teaching? From Jesus' teaching. So it means that in observing the doctrine of Jesus, they observed his didache. Did you get that? In observing the doctrine of Jesus, they observed his doctrine. I'm saying the same thing, but different things. Right? So I'm saying in observing what he taught, they observed how he taught. Are we together? So there is a mode of teaching that Jesus had. Now, that teaching that you call the apostles' doctrine is the mode of teaching of Jesus. So the apostles continued in what they had seen Jesus do, and the disciples continued in what they saw the apostles do. Are we together? So by extension, as disciples, we continue in what we see the apostles did. Are we here? Have you gone home? We're here, right? You're here. So they continued steadfastly. Now, look at verse. Let me show you what happened. Let me show you what happened before you get to verse 42. Look at verse 41. Let's read 41 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they what? So, 3,000 souls will continue step. So, it means that there is no time that is too early for a new convert to learn the didache of Jesus. They were just born again. Is that not true? How many of that? 3,000 of them. And you are seeing the word they continued. So, it means that there is no time that is too early for a new convert to learn God's word. There is no time that is too early for a child to learn God's word. Are we here? What qualifies the moment or the phase where you know a child can start learning God's word? If a child can start listening in class and repeating what his teacher told him from class. Are we together? When you see a child already able to say, "We learned this today in school." You see, some of us here, we think the best time for our children to learn God's word is when they are teenagers. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. You know that a lot of things you do and we do today, it started from the tolerance or the scolding of your parents when you were very small. I hope you know. How many of you don't know how to eat when you go out with your parents? How many of you don't know how to eat in parties? All of you used to eat in party. Me, I didn't used to eat in party. Because there's an eye, the eye of the Lord, that once it stares on you, once it gazes at you, and it doesn't take time. Do you understand? There's that eye that once you see, so in fact, that has even framed my mind. It now even becomes more interesting as a pastor. Because you now think of other pastors that you don't see eating anyhow, anywhere. You just say, ah. And some of you too, you still use that eye to look at your children. You're laughing at your parents, but you still use that same eye to look at your children. That's the truth. Yeah? There's a way you want to do something, and there's a way they will just tap you. Or there's a sign they will give you. Right? You know, there's a difference. You know what? You already know it. Those are didaches. That's true. It's a mode of teaching. It's a mode of communication. That's what you call didaches from didaskalos. So in the real sense, they differ. There is a mode. You need to learn it. Are we together? So there are lots of things that you do today because of what they did to you in time past. Praise Jesus. That's why we are products of influence. We are products of influence. There is a way Jesus read scriptures that the apostles paid attention to, and new converts continued. He says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Praise Jesus. Are we here? So, that is an approach that the believer must hold in a very high esteem. You know, some of us believe that Bible study is for those who have been saved for years. Abby? You know, Brother Kenneth Hagin, he will say something. He will say, if the church does what they ought to do, there will be no need for what? Bible schools. Altogether, one of the major reasons we have Bible schools today is because the church is not doing what it ought to do. Ideally, what it should have actually been is that the church would teach you the doctrine of scriptures, both the doctrine itself and the didache. Then administration, you learn it in the business world. Are we together? You learn leadership course. You learn it in the business world, so to say. How to administer or manage people, you learn it in the business world. But in the real sense, you must see whatever you learn in the business world with God's word. Are we together? The Bible will be the foundation to every phase of your life. But you will not learn everything you need in life from the Bible. That's the truth. There are lots of people's experiences you will not learn in the Bible. Let's use the common one. Does the Bible teach you how to make money? Does the Bible teach you what to do with money? Do you get what I said? What I just said? Does the Bible teach you what to do with money? As a believer, does the Bible teach you what to do with money? Does the Bible teach you 10 keys to make money? You know, forget all this. What you want to say, I want to make money, you praise God. If you want to make money, you do this one. Those are jokes. Does the Bible teach you how to manage a company? But does the Bible teach you how to manage your employees in the company? You tell your masters. You tell your slaves. Are we together? You know, so the reason why you see two people always fighting is because either one of them, maybe one of them is paying attention, the other one is not paying attention. And the one that is not paying attention is now frustrating the one that is paying attention. And everywhere is just... Are we together? But in the real sense, if two believers should look at God's word, they have what they require to actually stop fighting regularly. But now, the truth is that in this life, there are so many, 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 many stories and many experiences that people are hurting from without knowing. Are we together? I know, I've noticed sometimes when you express yourself and just Just say what is on your mind. You feel relaxed, even without the person even responding to you. We're talking about didache and the mode of teaching. Now, and we said that the Bible, or Bible study, a lot of us believe that Bible study is for those who have been saved for many years. I remember how I got there. I was talking about how it's not too early for a new convert to learn God's word. I started explaining a baby, a child that grows to learn God's word, right? Now, you know, some of us believe that Wednesday is for Bible study. Then Sunday is what? Celebration service. Are we together? But in the real sense, yeah, there is a mode of teaching. There is a mode of fellowship. There is a mode of coming together. There is a mode. There is a mode about how we do church. Are we together? So Jesus' teaching to the apostles were fundamental, and it became what you call the apostles' what? Doctrine. Look at Acts 5. Acts 5:27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? So they were teaching in that name. Are we together? In my name you shall teach, right? So they were to teach in the name, and the council had advised or instructed them not to teach in that name. Now, he says, and behold, look at what he says, and behold, ye have what? Filled Jerusalem with your didache, with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter answered and said unto him, we ought to obey God rather than what? Men. So the mode of teaching doctrine is to obey God than men. I want to go out together. The mode of teaching, the mode of reading scriptures is with an end goal to obey God rather than what? Men. Look at Acts 13:12. Let's cover quite a few grounds this morning. We're looking at the name of Jesus. Acts 13:12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John the parting from them returned to what? Jerusalem. So the deputy believed, being astonished at the what? The doctrine of the Lord. Look at Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17. Now it says, are we there? Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which what? Cause division and offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. So mark them which teach contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:2. I'm just looking at the word didache. You know, before we go into what we have to do today. So 2 Timothy 4:1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, it says, preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering, and what? Doctrine. Exhort with long suffering and doctrine. The next book is Titus. Look at Titus, just the next book after 2 Timothy. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the what? Gainsayers. Are we together? So he's talking about the bishop. Look at verse 7. Titus 1:7. He says, for a bishop must be blameless and as a steward of God, not what? Self-willed, not soon to be, not given to what? Wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of what? Hospitality. A lover of good men. Are you a lover of good men? Good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word that he has been taught. Altogether, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to what? Convince the gainsayers. So there's a mode of teaching. There's such a thing as teaching with a mode. There's such a thing as what is taught and the mode of teaching what needs to be taught. Are we together? Praise Jesus. So there's such a thing as the Bible says, like we said on Wednesday, and there's such a thing as the mode of teaching to get to the conclusion that says the Bible says. Are we together? So, now, let me ask you a question. In the mode of teaching of Jesus, do you observe he always began at the beginning? Look at Luke 24. Certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as they had said, but him they said they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken, how doth Christ have suffered these things that ye see, and to enter into his glory. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded. Now, where did Jesus begin at? Beginning at what? Moses. Now, remember, in the time of Jesus, there was no Old and New Testament. Are we together? Are we together? You know, we've explained that over time, right? Genesis to Malachi is as much the word of God as Matthew to Revelation, right? So everything you see in Matthew to Revelation, yeah, they have their foundation in Genesis to Malachi. So the epistles, particularly which you see, are explanations of the what? Genesis to what? Malachi. Are we together? Are we together? So fundamentally, Jesus' Bible had how many books? 39 now. Abby? Yeah? Jesus' materials had 39 books. So Jesus, from 39 books, will teach and come to certain conclusions. The apostles as well will teach and come to certain conclusions. Now, do you know something? Do you know that when Paul and the apostles wrote their epistles, they didn't have you in mind? I hope you know. You know, but they were not have, they didn't have you in mind though. They didn't have the church in 2022 in mind. They didn't have the church in 2023 in mind. They didn't have the church in 2015 in mind. They wrote to definite particular people. Are we together? Let me now tell you something more interesting. Do you know that when they wrote the Bible, when they wrote their letters, they didn't have it in mind that they would be a part of the Bible? Are you here? You know, Paul did not say, I want my book to enter the Bible. Let me call it Ephesians. Just 6 chapters. So at least even if they don't want to put it, they just say it's just small. Just throw it. Are we together? So when Paul wrote his epistles, he didn't think that it would be a combination of what you would call the Bible today. So they wrote to a set of people without you in mind. They wrote to a set of people with those set of people in mind. So, and you know what's interesting to know? That most of the epistles, right, were written from a long distance. Are we together? They were written when some of them were in prison. They were written from a long distance, sent to a particular church to answer certain questions within the local church. Think about Corinth, for instance, when you had so many issues in Corinth. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. Abby? Is in Corinth you have a man that is sleeping with his father's wife? Is in Corinth you have people drinking communion wine and getting drunk while some were dying because of hunger? So, what did Paul do in 1 Corinthians? Paul, by writing his first letter to the Corinthians, he was answering certain doctrinal questions they had using the scriptures as his background. Are we here? What would the scriptures as his background be? Genesis to Malachi. So, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he was explaining Genesis to Malachi to answer their doctrinal questions they had in local assembly. Are we together? So, Paul did not write with a... You know, there's a way you write for your book to be a world seller. You know now? Some of us say, when we finish writing, say, nobody has bought the book, you already write bestseller below. Are we together? Are we together? But Paul did not have bestseller in mind. Paul had Paul had concerns in local churches and wanted to tackle it using the word of God. So, it means that Paul's word of God is Genesis to Malachi. So, Paul's word of God was not Genesis to Revelations. So, it means that Genesis to Malachi is as good as the word of God as Matthew to Revelation. So, we don't cherry pick. We don't say, I like the nail. We're no longer under the old. We're now under the nail. Say the nail. All together. We're no longer old. But come and explain. When the Bible says, no, that's under the old covenant. Old is old. It's old. We're not new. Are we together? You see, when you see a doctrinal conversation and it ends with that is under the old. You don't enter a doctrinal conversation with old and new. Because everything you call the new was first written in the old. Everything. See, there is not a single writing between Matthew to Revelation that did not have its foundation in the writings of the prophets and Moses. Are we together? So it just means we need to sit where the audience of the author sat to see what they saw. Else you will really not see what they saw. Are you here? Have you gone? So Jesus had a mode of teaching, and his mode of teaching had to do with beginning at where? Moses. So beginning at Moses, are we together? And all the prophets, right? So when they said Old Testament, when they will call Old Testament, for instance, they were referring to practices. Not that line that divides your book. After Malachi is what? After Malachi is what? White page. After Malachi is white page. Then what? The New Testament. Are we together? Are we together? So where did Jesus begin? Moses. That is the beginning. That wasn't mistaken. That wasn't coincidental. It was what? Intentional. Altogether. So it means that we will need to deliberately follow the mode of teaching of Jesus to get to their conclusions. Remember, we are trying to tackle the conclusion of Jesus that such that all the apostles, rather Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, spoke about the name. How did that conclusion come into being? Are we together? Now, there's such a thing. When we're doing interpreting scripture, series 1 and series 2, we spoke about the mode of interpreting the Bible, which we'll look at again briefly in this series. There's such a thing as what you would call definite pointers you must pay attention to when interpreting scriptures. Number one is the use of words. The use of words. That's important to note. The use of words. You know, words don't have meaning outside their immediate context. We derive the meaning of words from the context in which they are used. We derive the meaning of words from the context in which they are used. Let me give you a quick example. Look at Luke 24. Are you in Luke 24 already? I said that's where you are. Look at verse 44. Are you there? Look at what it says. It says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. That all things must be what? Fulfilled, which were written in the... Now, the law of Moses, is that the Ten Commandments? The writings of Moses. Are we together? How did you come to that conclusion? Because I said it before. So, you know how a lot of people used to say, that's the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Have you not said it before? Talk for yourself. I said it before. We're not under law. We're under what? Grace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Abi? That's the meaning of grace now. Then law is what? God's riches at Christ. Well, good acronym. But Paul didn't teach it. Even though we understand what you mean. So, hope you actually also understand that grace will not have an absolute meaning. I hope you know. Look at Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 26. It says, to declare, I say, at this time is righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So there's law of faith. Are we together? Is that not law of faith in your Bible? So there's law of faith, there's law of Luke 24, and there are other laws. Are we together? Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5:13. Are you there? Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled. You see that? The law is fulfilled. But I thought some people say we are not under law. Yeah? But it says the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We'll look at that phrase shortly. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of what? Christ. So have we seen law of faith? Have we seen law of Christ? Have we seen the law of writings? Have we seen how the word law was used for writings? Luke 24. Yeah, the writings of Moses. Have we seen law of faith? So you can't afford to give a universal meaning to a word. I'm going to explain what I'm saying to you now. Right? So it means that the context of Bible language must be properly examined when having your study. Where did Jesus begin? So beginning at the beginning. Is that Genesis? Now, you know we can't afford to read the Bible in today's language. I've just shown you law of faith. I've shown you law of Christ. Are we together? But if you call somebody law today now, there's an almost definite interpretation we get. Do you know the law of the country? Or some people that we call the law. Are we together? That law we are calling is not law of Christ. Neither is it law of faith. Neither is it writings of Moses. Are we together? So it means that to have a broad understanding of the word law, we need to see how law was first used. Are we here? Don't lose track on us, yeah, because we have a long journey. We need to first look at how the words or their languages were first used. Remember John chapter 5, verse 46. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me for what? He wrote of me. Are we together? He says, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Praise Jesus. So, one would have thought that animals could talk based on Moses' writing. Or one would have thought that Moses was trying to communicate to you that animals used to talk. Let me ask you a question. When you read the Bible and say animals used to talk and believe animals used to talk, is that a mode of teaching? Is that a doctrine? Is that a doctrine that came from a mode of teaching? Yes, no. Are we together? If you read the Bible and you see that, for instance, what example should I even give again? If you read scriptures, for instance, maybe you read Genesis and you see we have so many examples in Genesis I don't want to touch this morning because I don't want to get. So if you see the Bible, for instance, and see Moses talking about a zoo that God put two caretakers. Is that a mode of teaching? Who are the two caretakers? Adam and Eve. Do you understand that the conclusion is that God actually just made Adam and Eve to take care of zoo? Is that not true? Zoological, what do you call that? Botany. No, botany is for zoology. Zoology and botany. So, there's a way you will read scriptures and see Adam and Eve as the female and male caretakers of the animals. Are we here? There's a mode of teaching. But Jesus says in his mode of teaching, if you don't believe Moses, you can't believe me. For Moses, without writing about me, wrote about me. But you need to understand how he wrote about me by understanding his mode of teaching. Did you get that? You need to understand how Moses wrote about me without writing about me by understanding the mode of reading scriptures, the mode of teaching. So now, can you read the Bible and see that God created the heavens and the earth and you think that's the sky and where you are standing? Yes. Is that a mode of teaching? Yes, it is. But Jesus says, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? How can you believe my words? For he wrote about me. Are we together? Are we together? So did God create the heavens and the earth in your mind? You're not answering. Okay. Did God create the skies? You understand that one now? Did God create the skies and where you are standing? Can you read Genesis 1 and see that as all Moses is writing about? Is that a mode of reading? Is there also a mode of reading that shows you that that was what Moses was writing about? So is that didache? Didache? Right? The mode of teaching, the mode of reading, the mode of viewing, what you have in mind. How to get? Look at John 1, for instance. Look at John 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. Are you in John 1? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, is John chapter 1 telling you that Moses... No, okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Does that mean that in the beginning was a person? Are we here? So, in the beginning was a person. Where is John teaching from? So it means that Moses in Genesis already taught that in the beginning there was a person. Altogether. So it means that in the beginning of Moses, there is a person that begins that beginning. Altogether. Altogether. So in the writings of Moses about the creature, he's writing about the new creature. Altogether. So in the writing of the beginning of Moses, he's writing about the what? The new beginning. Are we here? Please don't lose track, or we've not started. In the writings of Moses, about the beginning, he's writing about the new beginning. In the writings of Moses, about the foundation of the world, he's writing that there was a person that existed. So it means that in God's new beginning, there is a person. And the person is God. Did you see that? Yeah, the word there, word, is the word there, logos. And it's the word that deals with a thought pattern. That's the Hebrew word for the word dabar. I hope you're writing and not looking at me. Look at Genesis 15, quickly. Yeah, the word logos, that's the Greek rendering of the Hebrew word dabar. And we look at dabar when we're talking about concerning spirituals. I remember very well. John 1, logos is the word that means word, right? And it's a word that refers to a person or a thought pattern or a thought ideology, so to say. What you call logos, what in the Hebrew is called dabar. Look at Genesis 15. In Genesis 15. Are you there? It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and thy exceeding great what? Reward. And Abraham, look at verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of what? Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house as is my heir. Now verse 4 says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thy what? Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heaven, please follow attentively, and tell the stars, if thou be able to what? Number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy what? Seed. Now look at verse 6. He says what? And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him as what? Righteousness. Altogether. So we see that the word of the Lord came, and in the word of the Lord coming, you see, I am your shield. Altogether, and your exceeding what? Great reward. Altogether. So it means that when John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So that word of the Lord that came in 15:1 is what you call logos. Are you together? It's what you call logos. Genesis chapter 15, which is what you call dabar in the Hebrew. So John tells you, in the beginning was the Logos, that is the word Dabba. Oh, go back to John 1. Did you close John 1 already? Okay, so go back to John 1. John 1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. That word there was Dabba. Is that Dabba? In the beginning was the Dabba. Are we together? And the Dabba was with God. And the Dabba was God. Now look at what it says. It says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Is that all things an open statement? Is it an open statement? All things, is it an open statement? So if it's an open statement, it means that it includes atomic bomb. Are we together? If it's an open statement, it means it includes what? It includes what again? It includes guns and includes what? Grenade. So all things cannot be all things in the universe. Are we together? So it means that when John, if all things cannot be all things in the universe, it means that when John will speak about all things, he wasn't thinking material. Did you get that? Oh, okay, in case you're not sure, look at it. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He now says, in him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. The light of men. So it means that John never read Genesis 1 as material creation. Are we together? So it means that John read Genesis 1 as the light or life supplied to man or to men. All together. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Is that the sun? Is that the moon? Is that NEPA? All together. So if you say it's NEPA, that means in him was life, and the life was NEPA to men. Abi, you know, in this part of the world, I remember some 10 over years ago, thereabout, first time when I was in a place where they did not used to take lights. I was scared. I'm not even joking with you. I was scared. I was really bothered. Why would they not take lights? Why should they not take lights? Why would you say there's light all through? You are in a place for 1 week, they didn't take lights? You would have been used to up Jesus that, you know, now, for instance, in Nigeria, there's no lights. I was really scared because it was of concern to me. How can they not? At least let's do 2 days on one. Let's do 1 day off to service the dam, you know, and so the rotor is not always working, you know, all kind of things. You know, in Nigeria, you get used to no lights. It's just a normal thing. I don't remember who was saying it. He was telling a white man how they have generator in their see, generator, Indian man, generator, a whole generator in your house, you know, because you know there is generator. You know, there's generator, there's gen. They are different. There's generator and there's gen. How can you put a whole generator in your house? So, in the real sense, there is such a thing called the light of life to men. And that light is not physical. So, when John read Genesis 1 and said, God said, let there be light, he didn't read it as material. Are we here? He didn't read it as material. He couldn't have read it as material. Because the light John now sees is the light that is the light of men. Are we together? So he says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. So go back to Genesis 1. So it means that in Genesis chapter 1, you must see where he says, or you must see the light as a light of man or the light of men. So, man needed life. Is that true? Man needed life, and that life was supposed to be light. All together. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Who did John say you should see in Genesis 1:1? The Word. That is a person. So, in Genesis 1:1, you should see a person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now, who is the first person you should see in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3, as Jesus, John had seen. Okay? God. That is, God created the heavens and the earth. All together. Then what do you see as God in verse 2? The Spirit. Are we together? Are we together? So in the beginning, so in God's beginning, there's a spirit made available. That spirit is the light. Is that true? Is the light? Is that true? The light of men. So man needed life, that is light, and in God's beginning, God made his spirit available. So God's spirit is his life. Are we together? The word there, spirit, is just the word ruach, right? Is his life, and so God's spirit is his life and his light to man. Write that in your notes. God's spirit is his light and his life to man. So in John's beginning, he calls the person, or he recognizes that there is a person in God's beginning. Look at Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Look at Genesis 6, verse 12. Genesis 6, verse 12, right? It says, and God looked upon the earth. Now, when you say God looked upon the earth, is he looking upon the earth at the surface or looking upon men? Okay, hold on. Go to verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. We've thought about that, right? We've thought about that, right? I will talk about the destruction of Noah. Have we done that? Lovely. So now, so it means that man is in context of the earth in Genesis 6. So when you see Genesis 6 verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Was it the earth in itself that was corrupt, or men that were on the earth that were corrupt? So men on the earth were corrupt. So it means that you see the word earth used for men. Look at that again. He says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So when God says the earth is corrupt, what was he speaking about? Men are corrupt. Look at 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh. Can we say the end of the earth? Can we say that? The end of the earth? Yeah. So, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is what? Can the earth be filled with violence? Can the earth be filled with violence? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that men will put violence on the earth. No, in the sense that the earth is in neutral on itself and doesn't have an ability to put violence in itself on its own. Are you there? And God said unto Noah, the end of the world of the flesh is before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Are we together? And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, so can you see the use of earth as a word used to speak about men? So it means that when you see Moses use earth, six chapters after saying God created heavens and earth, it means you might need to go back to the heavens and earth he spoke about in Genesis 1:1. Are we together? Now, it's interesting to know that heaven and earth is a phrase used in scriptures to speak about, like we said over time, the physical and the non-physical. Are we together? The seen and the unseen. Do you know that the Bible doesn't teach that heaven is where people go to where they die? Okay. I hope you know that too. I hope you know that. Did I say it's not heaven people go to where they die? I just told you the Bible doesn't teach heaven as a place where people go to when they die. Sila. See, literally, really, heaven and earth are just distinguished by the characteristics or by their characteristics, the unseen and the seen. Now, whilst language over time now points to the sky as heaven. Are we together? But what you call the sky is on earth. The heaven is on earth. I hope you know. Wait, when you are flying and you are in the plane, where are you? You are in the sky. What did you call the sky? The heaven. Where is that sky? Did you leave it? Heaven as the sky and where you are is the same. They are just distinguished by characteristics. One, you have less air pressure. One, you have is the same place. You know you can pass this sky and go to another planet. And you'll be looking at heaven and earth. Do you understand that? Sister Agatha, let me explain to you, right? Have you heard about rockets? You say, why would I be asking that? Let me be sure. I've heard about rocket. Not Johnny Rocket, though. Rocket that used to leave the earth. You know that one that they would just do poo and just go groo. Now, you know, at a point, there's a point that it leaves the earth. Have you heard people go to space? You know, when you're in space, you look at heaven and earth. Do you get? When you're in space, you're not in heaven, no. When you're in space, you're in space. When you are in space, when you look, you will look at heaven and earth. What I mean heaven and earth, you look at what we call sky and where you are walking. So where you are walking is where you enter the plane. That's the earth. When the plane is flying, that's heaven in our language. Altogether. So heaven is not a place used to teach about where people go to when they die. However, heaven is a place, or heaven and earth are in the same geographical location. So heaven first in Bible language is not first geology or geography, but doctrine. Write that in your notes. Heaven in Bible language is not first geography, even though it will be used as geography, but it's first doctrine. Altogether. Heaven and earth in Bible, you can just put apostle whatever you write to just extend. Heaven and earth is first doctrinal, theological, before you think of the geographical. So heaven and earth are not distinguished by distance. Altogether. Because where you call the sky and where you are, so over time we started calling the sky heaven and beneath earth. Altogether. So, can we say heaven and earth is speaking about the spiritual and the non-spiritual, even though in the same place? Are we together? You didn't want heaven without us. So, Jesus, you brought heaven down. Are we together? My sin was great, your love was great. So, in the real sense, heaven is that which we've received. So, heaven is on earth right now. Are we together? We house heaven. Are we together? We house the unseen. We house God in us. So heaven and earth are in the same location, same place, distinguished by several characteristics, right? And summarily can be called that which is unseen and that which is seen. We'll do a series on heaven and earth in days to come. Are we together? Yeah. So that's why you sing that song. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt you paid. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. You know, in that song, we replace the first heaven we spoke about with sky at the end. Do you get that? We've replaced the first heaven we sang. You came from heaven to earth. So if you sing that, what you're trying to say is that Jesus just came. And he went back. You get that right? But in the real sense, he didn't just come to go back. He came to indwell man. Altogether. So, it's like saying, you came from area 1 to Wuse 2 to show them the way to Metama. Then you came back to God's palace. You literally just said, he started from God's palace and came back. He just went through the way. No, he came to show us is the way by indwelling us. So we have the Spirit of God in us right now. That means we have heaven in us. So heaven and earth are first doctrinal to be seen as the spiritual or the supernatural and the natural, or the spiritual and the non-spiritual, or the physical and the non-physical within the same sphere. So heaven in scriptures actually is not used to teach where people go to when they die. Did I say they don't go to heaven when they don't die? When they die? No, we'll get there. So, where do people go to when they die? That's your question, right? Keep following. That's not what we're looking at now. Where do people, what happens to people when they die? Are we together? Look at Psalm 78 while we close. Psalm 78, verse 2. Are you there? Psalm 78, verse 2. It says, give ye, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Psalm 78, verse 2. Are we there? Psalm 78, verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. I will open my mouth in parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. That word there, old, is like the word for foundation or beginning. So it means that from the beginning, we've had and we've seen parables. From the beginning, we've seen the writings from the beginning in parabolic forms. Are we together? We've seen the writings of scriptures in parabolic forms. So let's go back to our series on salvation briefly, right? So, garden, is that a parable? Hello? Is garden a parable? Is garden a parable? Is garden a parable? Did Moses use garden as a parable? Now, did Moses use Eden as a parable? Yeah, garden of Eden, right? What is garden of Eden? An enclosed place of what? Delight or pleasure. Is that a parable? Yes. Did Moses speak about serpent? Is that a parable? What is serpent speaking about? Deception amongst men. Or deception in the heart of man. Or deception amidst men. Are we together? Did Moses speak of tree of life? What is tree of life? What is tree of life? A parable for what? The fruit of life, which is what you eat, which is the indwelling of the spirit. Are we together? Are we together? Did he speak about spirit? Did he speak about a spirit going upon the face of the waters? What is waters for? People. Same as earth. Yeah. What a fast reflex. Ooh. Yeah, same as earth, right? So we see the earth, we see water, all parabolic. He says, I will open my mouth with dark sayings, sayings of old, of old. Yeah, that's from the foundation. So it means that from the foundation of Genesis, we will start seeing parables fully involved. So it means, listen to me, everyone, when Bible now tells you God created light and separated light from darkness, you ought not to read it as physical. Are we together? All together. God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. You ought not to read it as material things. You ought not to read it as physical. So water would describe nations. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, right? Upon the earth, upon water, right? What does that, mean? He says, which is the light. If our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4:3, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image? So you see, Moses uses image to speak about the work of redemption. So garden of Eden, tree of life. So Moses will write the parable of the garden. Remember, we said something. There was only one tree in the garden of Eden. All together. What's the only tree in the garden of Eden? It's the tree of life. Yeah, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a tree you eat of by rejecting the tree of life found in the garden of Eden. Altogether. Now, look at something very carefully. So, God said, let there be light. Now, can we say light is revelation? Does Paul tell you the light of Genesis 1:3 is revelational light? Not physical light. Altogether. In whom the God of Israel has been there has blessed the what? Light of the glorious God. Is that revelation? So, God said, let there be revelation. Let there be light. It means let there be revelation of... Listen carefully. Let there be revelation of what? John tells you in Genesis 1, you must have seen a person. So it means that let there be light to be, let there be revelation of a person. Did you get that? Let there be a revelation of a person. So he now tells you that God who created heavens and earth, right? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be the revelation of a person. Altogether, then the Bible now tells you he called light day. Look at that on Wednesday. Let's end in Exodus chapter 3. Are we in Exodus 3? Play for me while I close, please. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Bible tells you in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name?" Now, why do you think they needed a name? It's because they were used to several names of several gods in Egypt. Are we together? So they needed a name that would be distinguished from the various names they already knew in the land of Egypt. So Moses knew the people that he was with. And he said, when they ask, "What is your name?" What should I say? Look at it again. He says, "And when they ask me, What is your name? What shall I say unto them?" Now look at the revelation of light in verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." Are we here? We're going to look at the word "I am that I am." So you see that as the name. So let me ask you a question. Is that the name of God? The conversation says Moses is asking God, "What should I say your name is?" And God reveals himself as what? "I am that I am. I am that I am." You see, we'll pay attention to that word in our next teaching. Examine what "I am that I am" is. It's a word that means I am who I am. I am one who will keep by my faithfulness the promise I made to the fathers. I am who I am, and I will be what I will be. I am self-existent. So he says, "Go and tell them." He says, Moses said unto them, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am. I am. Hath sent me unto you." Let me ask you a question. I am, is that based on a function? Think about that question very well. I am who I am, and I will be what I will be. Is that based on a function? Is that based on an action that will be done? Is that based on the purpose that is to be accomplished? We'll look at that in our next teaching. What does "I am that I am" mean? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you ask a question and Moses appears to you and tells you, "I am, sent me to you"? Does it make logical sense, English-wise? "I am, sent me to you. I am. Sent me to you." I am. Are we together? So we're looking at the name of Jesus. I was trying to pay attention to how Moses thought about names. How did Moses use names? We'll look at that from Genesis 1 again on Wednesday. I'll look at how Moses called the light day. Why did he call the light day? Is there any significance to names? Do people just bear shabby names? Remember, I taught us something a few months ago. The word Methuselah is a word that means what? When it happens, when he dies, rather, it shall what? Happen. Is that a function? Is that a name that has a meaning? Are we together? Yeah. So it means that in the theory of Noah's father, right? Sorry, who gave birth to Noah? So Enoch, rather. Enoch was father of Methuselah, right? Yeah. So Methuselah knew about a message and comprised the message into a name. Or let me say this way: he comprised an action, a function, a purpose into a name. Such that when you understand the name, you understand an action or something that is to happen. When he dies, it shall happen. So he didn't just feel like calling him Methuselah because he just feels that the name is longer than normal. Abel, Cain, Seth, Eve, Noah, everything, 444 letters. Yo, Methuselah. No, it has a meaning. You know, I said something on Wednesday. We'll look at it again. I said when the Bible tells you that Abraham is the father of many nations, it's a name that has a purpose, a function. What is the function? You'll be a father of many tribes. And that is the real characteristics of God in the resurrection. God becomes the father of many tribes, many ethnicity, many black, white, orange, purple, yellow people. But you see that name as a prophecy given to the name or given to the man who you call Abraham. Abraham did not give it to everybody. Are we together? So in days to come, we continue about that. We're looking at the name of Jesus. Now let me help you a little. The name of Jesus is worth more than what you call Jesus. Are we together? The name of Jesus is not about Jesus. Give me a J, give me a E, give me a S, and another U. Yeah, it's not about that. The name of Jesus is not about, what do you call this word? Excellent E, successful S, universal U. No. The name of Jesus is about an action that is wrong. The fulfillment of prophecy. Let me tell you something for free. When Jesus was Jesus, and when he was living, so many other people bore the name Jesus. Are we here? So many other people bore the name Jesus. Jesus is the English word for you, but the Hebrew word you call Yeshua. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and let's pray in tongues for a while, okay? Talk in tongues this morning while we close.